But the potency of devotional service is such that not only can the devotee get beyond the clutches of sense gratification and even liberation, but when he looks back at them, he thinks, this is just completely useless. Kaivalya Narakayate, that promise of liberation, it's just hellish. And Tridaspur Akash Pushpayate, the promise of sense gratification, it's just like some meaningless hallucination. Flowers in the sky, just like a mirage, no substance. So Dhruva Maharaj, he's expressing this mood here very nicely. We find also this very nice incident in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Previously, he had also been in this liberation business, teaching impersonal philosophy and things like this. And very attached to that study, very attached to that knowledge. But, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he got the right idea that actually devotional service is higher. So he gave up all of his previous activities, cultivating and teaching impersonal knowledge. He gave it all up, very enthusiastically. So one day, in this mood of ecstasy, in appreciation of how wonderful devotional service is, one day he came to Lord Chaitanya and he spoke one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, important verse, but he made some little alteration, expressing this mood of enthusiasm that he had for devotional service as being higher than liberation. Tatenu kam pam susamikshamano bhunjani vatma kritam vipakam. That the devotee remains fully engaged in devotional service, even though so many difficulties may come due to his or her previous activities. So many reactions have built up over so many lifetimes. So as the devotee is trying to advance, those reactions may come. So difficulty may be there. But the devotee remains fully engaged in devotional service and simply praying, my dear Lord, you please just be merciful to me. And then the verse goes on, jivaita yo mukti pade chadayabhag. That the devotee who continues on in devotional service in the spirit, then jivaita yo mukti pade chadayabhag. Krishna, who is mukti pad, his lotus feet give liberation. They are the very resting place of liberation. Lord Krishna, he will give the kingdom of God as the inheritance of the devotee. The kingdom of God will become the rightful inheritance of such a dedicated devotee. So that verse is referring to the Lord as Muktipad, whose feet are the resting place of liberation. So, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, in this newfound spirit of enthusiasm for devotional service as opposed to liberation, he thought that this concept of the Lord as Muktipad is not first class. We could improve it. So therefore he changed it to Jivaita Yo Bhakti Pade Chadayabhak, that the lotus feet of the Lord are the place of devotional service. And the Lord, acting in that capacity, he's giving this mercy to his pure devotee. So he came before Lord Chaitanya and he spoke the verse with this little alteration. So Lord Chaitanya, he immediately noticed that this change has been made, and this verse is from Srimad Bhagavatam, so we don't do that. We don't do that. Srimad Bhagavatam is the final word in Shastra, the ultimate evidence, ultimate scripture. the king, as we say, Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam Gita, the king of all scriptures, or as Srila Jiva Goswami says, the emperor of all evidences. There are many scriptures, and they're like the Vedic scriptures at least. They are the kings of scriptures, and their conclusions, they are the kings of all conclusions, of all evidences. But over a king, over kings, is an emperor. And Srimad Bhagavatam is like that. The emperor of all evidences. So we don't change Srimad Bhagavatam. We don't change Srimad Bhagavatam. So he told Sarvamama Bhattacharya, actually you shouldn't do that. Please don't do that. But just take the verse as it stands and understand that it is Krishna. But don't play. Don't play with the words of scripture. But at the same time, even though he made that correction, mild chastisement to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, still within himself, Lord Chaitanya was appreciating that actually this is a very nice spirit that he has. Previously, he was simply interested in impersonalism, liberation, these ideas. He was teaching that great authority, but now he's thrown it out. And he doesn't like to hear anything to do with it, but only bhakti, only devotional service. So devotional service, as the devotee becomes more and more absorbed in devotional service, then these types of realizations will come. Perhaps for the neophyte devotee. The neophyte devotee may feel satisfied, somewhat satisfied, if they can remain free from sense gratification. That the opportunity comes, but they think, no. Actually, I shouldn't do that, but let me stay engaged in devotional service. Or some opportunity for liberation comes, but the devotee thinks, no, no. Let me just continue with my devotional service, despite difficulties. So we may feel satisfied like that, that at least we're engaged in devotional service and not being deviated. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Dhruva Maharaj, Prabodhananda Saraswati, Kaivalya Narakayate, what to speak of not being attracted, not falling down under the influence of these things. He's thinking, this is simply nonsense. Just like hell. Or as Yamunacharya says, what is the Sanskrit? About spitting. Anyway, the Sanskrit is there. But in effect, he says that when I think about my earlier days and some sense gratification which may have been there, in those days I thought it was very nice. But now when I think about it, I spit at the thought. So, these types of attitudes that liberation is just like hell, completely untouchable. That sense gratification, just spit on it, without even considering anything else. This is very advanced, very advanced. But this realization comes as the devotee engages more and more in devotional service. One experiences the sweet taste of devotional service. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam, right at the very beginning, it stated, what is it? Nigama Kalpa Taro Galitam Palam. Just like here, Dhruva Maharaj is being referred to as Mahamati, or very intelligent and thoughtful devotee, able to deliberate nicely and come to good conclusions on the basis of devotional service. It's also there, it's stated, that you expert and thoughtful men, intelligent people, Just try to appreciate Srimad Bhagavatam. Just try to appreciate this great scripture and its message of pure devotional service. And then you'll find that this is the most relishable thing. Most relishable. Most wonderful thing. Nothing else can compare. Kaivalya Nairikayate. Tridas pur akash vishayate. Everything else looks very pale and undesirable in comparison. So here, Dhruva Maharaj, he's expressing his high realization in this regard without a thought choosing devotional service, asking for some mercy. Please help me in my devotional service. So this should be the mood of the devotee, aspiring devotee, every devotee. We should want this. We should at least understand that this is what we should be wanting. And then we should try to get that. And how do we get that? Dhruva Maharaj's example is very nice. He's asking for mercy, praying for mercy. Please, be kind to me. Help me. Devotee understands that I am not independent even in my devotional service. One may become independent of sense gratification and liberation, but that doesn't mean that one is now simply independent on one's own. The devotee understands that I am fully dependent. So in order to achieve this most desirable goal of pure devotional service, undeviating remembrance of the Lord, full faith in his lotus feet and the means of attaining those lotus feet, the devotee is very concerned. Let me somehow get some mercy so I can get this benediction, get some help for achieving this goal. Therefore we find our great acharyas, they're so frequently offering prayers like that, praying for pure devotional service, praying for the means, different aspects of pure devotional service, different means of achieving it. Lord Chaitanya's praying, Na danam na janam na sundarim kavitam jagadisha kame mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatar bhaktir ahoitiki tvai. I don't want anything material, wealth, women, followers, nothing material. All I want is the opportunity to render devotional service. And even going back to Godhead, it doesn't matter. Even janmani janmanishvare, even birth after birth. But let me just have that. Or Narottam Das Thakur, he's praying for that and also for the means. Thandara charana seve, bhakta sanevas, janame janame hoy e avilas. My only desire is to remain in the association of devotees. Just that. That'll be sufficient. Birth after birth. Yamunacharya is praying, I don't know the Sanskrit, but he prays, I don't even want to be a Brahman. I'll be happy just to be an ant in the house of a devotee. Then I'll hear the kirtan. I'll get some crumbs of prasad. In the end, perhaps I'll leave my body being squashed under the lotus feet of one of those devotees. So he's praying like that. Somehow or other, pure devotional service or the means to pure devotional service. Praying to anyone, practically. The gopis are praying to Katyayani, Durga Devi. Normally, we frown on worship of Durga Devi. But the gopis are praying to Durga Devi, Katyayani, please give us a husband. We want a husband. So that husband is Krishna. So they'll pray. Pray like that. Devotee will be very concerned how to get some benediction, how to get some mercy for pure devotional service or the means to that. Srimati Radharani, when Lord Krishna left Vrindavan, of course this is very elevated, esoteric mood of pure devotional service, but she was praying that I can't tolerate the separation from Krishna. So I want to leave my body. So she was praying to Yamaraj, please help me to leave my body. You're the Lord of death. But she was thinking that I've been crying so many tears in separation from Krishna, on and on and on, just like waves. And the waves of my tears, they've formed a river which is even bigger than the Yamuna. And the Yamuna Devi is the sister of Yamaraj. So now I've offended Yamuna Devi by creating a bigger river. So her brother Yamaraj now is displeased with me. So he won't fulfill my request. So she was praying, Yamaraj, please help me. Just let me leave my body. The separation is too intense. So somehow we must try to cultivate this mood. Our acharyas and Prabhupada has also said that this eagerness, great concern, that I must become more and more engaged, more and more absorbed in devotional service by any means. This eagerness, this enthusiasm to make progress, this is like a great key for success in devotional life. But it's not easy to achieve. Prabhupada referring to Srila Rupa Goswami's statement in that regard. He's holding a little sort of mock conversation. Prabhupada speaking on behalf of Rupa Goswami is saying that just become eager. Just become extremely eager and greedy for getting some mercy to advance. And the person he's speaking to is saying, oh, all right, I'll do that. Easy. But then he replies, no, it's not so easy. Only after many lifetimes. It's not so easy. But try. Try for that. And by some mercy, then gradually that may come. And then advancement will be there. Very easily one can make progress. So Dhruva Maharaj, his mood is like that. Very nice mood. He's given the opportunity for some benediction. So what does he say? Just please help me to remember Krishna and to have faith in his lotus feet. Just please give me that. That'll be very nice. Some comments or questions? Stotra. This is what? Intelligent. Just see. I guess perhaps he was praying for some mercy that the other devotee had already prayed and been given that higher type of consciousness, so he took the opportunity perhaps. But anyway, yes, prasad is... This is one thing. There's so many ways. So we can try and get the dust of the lotus feet of the devotees. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains about the associates of Lord Chaitanya, that it would appear that sometimes they would be playing little games together, touching each other's feet and running around here and there doing like that. This was one of their engagements sometimes. So, because they have that feeling, that mood of enthusiasm to get mercy and become more Krishna conscious in that way. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he would, whenever some prasad would come from some very important deity, of course all deities are important, but some very well-known deity like Jagannath in Jagannath Puri. So when he would receive, someone would bring some Jagannath Mahaprasad, he would offer full dandavats to the prasad and then circumambulate it three times. And then he would respect it. So that's a very nice mood in that regard. Very nice mood. Of course, here, another thing that reminds me. Another thing. Here, Dhruva is praying for that mercy of Krishna consciousness. Rather than liberation, sense gratification, or any other thing, and particularly those two things. So, the devotee, through the devotee's engagement in devotional service, these things may come, because Mukti Devi and Bhukti Devi, they become the servants, even though the devotee is uninterested and unaffected, but still they remain out of attraction to the devotee. And the devotee reaps the results of those things without having to take the detrimental aspects. But the devotee lives very happily, and the devotee is liberated while engaged in devotional service. Because of the devotional service, these things follow naturally. So there was one story, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, the vice rector of the Banaras Hindu University, that means big authority in the world of Hinduism. He came to meet Srila Bhaktisiddhanta once to ask some very sophisticated and complex spiritual or religious type questions, because he was a big Hindu intellectual. So he came, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta looked at his list of questions and he just wasn't very interested, because they weren't really so much related with devotional service. So he told this man, "You go and ask those devotees over there." And there were some bhaktas, or young brahmacharis, cleaning the deity arti paraphernalia, the brassware, over there. So this man is a little surprised, being referred to these young boys doing somewhat menial task for answering his very deep, he thought, very deep questions. But anyway, he went over there and he asked them, "Can you please answer these questions of mine?" And they said, "Well, you know, we're busy right now. But if you'll help us clean this brassware, then we'll finish more quickly, and then we can answer your questions." So the vice rector, he sat down and he was cleaning the arti paraphernalia. Then he finished. And so the devotees were waiting for him to ask questions, but he didn't. He got up and he went back to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta asked him, "So, your questions are answered? You asked your questions?" And the man said, "Well, actually I didn't. But you know, while I was doing that service, while I was cleaning that brassware, the answers just came into my mind. And so actually all my questions are answered now." So then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he referred to that verse, Atakshi Krishna Namadi, Nabhaved Graham in Indriyai, Sevan Mukhe Jivado Swayameva Smaratyada. That in our material condition, our senses and intellect and so on, they cannot really approach the transcendental platform because they're material. But when you engage those things in sevan mukhe hi jivado, in devotional service, then all these things, realization comes. Everything comes. Vasudeva Bhagavati, Bhakti Yoga Prayojita, Janayadyasu Vairagyam, Jnanam Chayada Hoitakam. That through rendering devotional service, then naturally spiritual, or naturally realization comes, knowledge comes, causes. Hare Krishna. Some other comment or question?
I
beg your pardon?
Ask Krishna about devotional service. What kind of devotional service he got? Maybe he was looking for the
Who? Dhruva Maharaj.
What did he do?
Oh, he did so many types of devotional service. He was a king, so he was a devotee king. But you're wondering if he did food for life. That? Oh, I'm sure he did. Of course. I'm sure he wouldn't miss the opportunity of doing that service. And very nice. So carry on. Carry on and on. Yes. The cause of bhakti is bhakti. That a devotee who has bhakti can give bhakti. Because bhakti is there within his heart. Through contact with him, the bhakti can be transferred into the heart of the other person, and then they become devotees also. Actually, there's a very interesting thing I just came across in Bhagavad Gita. In the commentary of, it's either Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur or Baladeva Vijayabhushan, that even though we normally understand that Krishna doesn't give bhakti to a person who doesn't have it, he lets his devotee do it. But in one of the commentaries to verse 66 in the 18th chapter, Sarvadharma Paricharya, actually in between that verse and verse 65, Krishna saying, man mana bhava mad bhakta, and then he says, Sarvadharma Paricharya, just give up everything else and surrender to me. So, according to one of the commentaries, Krishna's saying to Arjuna that, strictly speaking, according to how I have understood you and what you have said during the course of our conversation, you are not exactly qualified for pure devotional service. Not exactly. But now, having spoken to you, my heart is feeling overwhelmed for compassion, or with compassion for you. So therefore I'm going to give you pure bhakti anyway. And he says, this is normally only done by devotees, but I'm going to do it because I'm feeling compassion for you. Which is very interesting. Very interesting statement. Yes. So, normally though, by the mercy of the Lord, one comes in contact with devotees who have bhakti, and then through that contact, one also gets bhakti. That's the basic idea. So I think we'll finish here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.